Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I enjoy British television. I don't know about any of you. I have a soft spot for it. British drama, British comedy, British sci-fi. There's a show that I watched with Sarah last year before. And I just started watching it again because the next season's coming out. It's called Sherlock. It's a British show. It's an updated version of the Sherlock Holmes story. It's quite quirky. It's not appropriate for church viewing, most likely. But it's an interesting show. I will admit, I really do enjoy it. And one of the things that happens in this show frequently is Sherlock, of course, Sherlock Holmes. He's a detective. He calls himself a consulting detective, so he is sought out by the police to help with cases that they are stumbling on, that they can't find answers to. He solves puzzles, basically. And one of the things that he frequently does is he looks at the scene of the crime, and he just notices things. He notices things that other people do not. In the first episode, when he first meets Dr. Watson, within instances of meeting Watson, he's able to tell that this man has a military background, that he's recently been discharged from service, that he has a psychosomatic injury, that is, it's all in his head. He can tell all this just by looking at him. By looking at his cell phone, he can figure out that he has a sibling who... Yeah. It takes place in modern age, I should probably say that. It's a modern reboot. Karen got very confused. Cell phone? What are you talking about? It takes place in the modern age. It takes place in the current era. By looking at Watson's cell phone, he is able to tell that Watson's sister is an alcoholic. Just by looking at his cell phone. It was amazing how it all came together. Of course, it's all fiction. I mean, that's why he can pull it off. But I noticed something in today's reading that was a little bit of a Sherlock situation. There was something lacking in this reading today that, by all accounts, typically we hear, we think of, when we think of John the Baptist. And I was curious if any of you noticed this. If anything stood out to you, I'll give you a hint. I will read you from the Gospel of Mark, the appearance of John the Baptist. See what's different. And John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Catch the difference. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when we think of John the Baptist, we think of this wild man in fur, eating locusts and wild honey, as was just said in that little passage of Mark. The phrase, a baptism for the forgiveness of sins, preaching repentance, that's John the Baptist, right? That's not in John. That's not in the Gospel of John. We didn't hear those words today. In the Gospel of John, the description of John the Baptist ignores all of that. It goes off in a different direction. If you were to take the story in Matthew, in Mark, and Luke, and put them up next to each other, you would see this common thread. You would see the clothing described. You would see the food that he eats. And this baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Baptism of repentance. Pardon me. For the forgiveness of sins. And yet today, that's not the emphasis. That's not what we hear about John the Baptist in this version of the gospel. Instead, what we see time and time again is this word, testimony, or testify. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And then later on he says, "I myself have seen and have testified
that this is the Son of God. What is a testimony?
It's a halfway rhetorical question. If you have an answer, feel free. I won't embarrass you, I promise.
What is a testimony? What do you think of when you hear that word?
Confession.
Confession.
Like a sworn statement.
A sworn statement. Courtroom scene. Pardon me. What?
This is the Lord.
This is the Lord. We often hear that word testimony and we think of the legal system. When do people give testimony? Oftentimes in our culture, it's in a court of law. They give a sworn statement. This is what I experienced. This is what I saw. This is what I heard. This is what happened. This is my testimony of the events. This is my version of the events that transpired. And I will swear to this. And what does it mean to testify in terms of faith? It means to proclaim our faith. It means to own it, to share it, to show it. It's one of those words that can be very uncomfortable in, dare I say, mainline Protestant tradition, which includes us, includes Lutherans. If I got up on a Sunday morning and I started saying, testify, you would either think I was being ironic or sarcastic, or I'd make you very uncomfortable. I'm watching your faces just as I use the word. I know I'm making some of you uncomfortable. That's ironic. Because this word, testimony, it isn't owned by any one church group, and it actually has a long history in the Lutheran Church. This larger worship body, this larger faith experience of which we are a part of. Do you know what the original name Martin Luther used for the Lutherans was back in the day? They were called the Evangelicals. Back in the time of the Reformation, that was the name that was used to refer to those people who had concerns about the Catholic Church, and who were engaged in this act of, dare I say, rebellion against the Roman Catholic hierarchy. The word that was used by those people to describe themselves was not Lutheran. That was actually a name given by their enemies. The word they used was evangelical. They described themselves as evangelicals. You can hear an echo of that in the name of the church of which we are a part, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. What does the name evangelical mean? Evangelical means good news. It comes from a Greek word, euangelion, which basically means good news. And what is the good news? The life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. I would argue, so I might offend someone by saying this, I would argue that this itself, I'm holding up a Bible, this itself is not necessarily the good news. This is something that bears witness to the good news. This is not God. I'm not holding God in my hands. But I'm holding something that bears witness to, that testifies to that good news. This past Sunday night, several of you were here. We had a heck of an experience, didn't we? For those of you who were not able to be here, I will explain what happened. This past Sunday night, we gathered together, our congregation and four other congregations that worship out of this place, two Ethiopian churches, one Korean, one Latino. We came together, these five groups, to share worship and song and prayer together in English, Spanish, Korean, and Amharic. We learned a little bit more about each other. And we bore witness to our faith. We testified to our faith that night. We admitted it to one another through word and through deed. We even did a
I don't know if you know about this yet, Bill. We actually even did an offering for SCC. And I don't know if that check has been written yet, but there will be one. The check is almost in the mail. It was a fantastic experience. Pardon me. Gathering together as the body of Christ, as we do every Sunday, is well and good. It is a part of what makes us part of the body of Christ. But another part of that, a part that John talked about today, is this idea of bearing witness, of giving testimony to our faith, showing it through word and through deed. I'm not going to ask you right now to get up and start, you know, waving your hands and saying, I believe, or telling me your faith story or anything like that. But what I would ask you to do, even though I know it's the end of the year, it's the last Sunday before 2014, everyone's on that post-Christmas, can you feel it? I can feel it. I can see it in your faces. But what I would ask you is, even in the midst of that, to recognize this amazing gift that we have been given. That we have been given this babe in a manger. We have been given the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have been given knowledge and firsthand experience of God's love made known to us in the flesh. And then we have been given the charge to share that with those around us. Through our deeds, yes, but also through our words. Not being afraid to own our faith. I'm not saying you have to go out on the street corner and bash someone over the head with it. But we can at least admit to it. I told you recently that I was involved with this film shoot with some friends, helping them out. There are a lot of people in that crew who are not church people. Let's just put it that way. But one of the things that I tried my best to do during that shoot was to be emblematic of the type of person who I believe I am supposed to be as a follower of Christ. And one of the most meaningful moments for me during that shoot was when a young woman who was involved in it made the comment to me at the end of the shoot. I'm going to paraphrase. I don't remember her exact words. But she said, you know, I am not a church person. And to be honest, I've never really liked them. But you have reminded me of what Christianity is supposed to be about. And it wasn't that I sat there and read scripture to her every day or something like that. I didn't give her a confession. I didn't, do anything like that. But what I did do was I just silently and sometimes loudly, well, not super loud, witnessed to her in my actions and in my words what it meant to be a follower of Christ. We all get to do that. Sorry I don't have anything flashy and energetic for you today. It's after Christmas for me too. But I am very happy to at least have that opportunity to remind you yet again how blessed we are that we've been given the gift of Christ. We've been given the gift of God's love made known to us in flesh. And we've been given the opportunity to share that knowledge with others. Amen.